Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Here we are on another week, and welcome to this Monday, a day after the holiday weekend. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I'm Neil Stavem, and this is Connecting Faith. Ted Roth sitting in on the controls today for Ryan. Happy post-fourth to you.
So, yeah, Ryan enjoying an extended vacation,
yes,
right?
How about that? We have no idea where he is.
He's out there somewhere.
That's right. Reminds me of an old joke, right? When my mother started walking 3 miles a day when she was, 85, and she's 90. Now we have no idea where she is. But no, that's that's not true.
Good.
You have all your digits. So
I do.
You didn't. Are you a fireworks kind of person?
Well, so. We did go to South Dakota, and it's legal there to get the kind of higher end ones. And my brother invested in that, we got to reap the benefits of seeing some big star shells right over our head. So everybody was healthy and safe, though.
Okay, all right. not really my thing. But the kids heading to camp. It's that time of year, isn't it? So
my youngest off today. My wife just dropped her off this morning. So
it's kind of a fun season. So we're going to talk kids today, and particularly kids that. Probably don't have camp opportunities or, fireworks or any of those kinds of family things because they are there without a parent or two, perhaps. And to help us talk about all that we need to know about mobilizing the church for global orphanology is Rick Morton. Rick is the father of three transnational adopted children, co-author of the book Orphanology, Awakening the Gospel-Centered Awakening to Gospel-Centered Adoption and Orphan Care. We had Rick on here maybe it's a year and a half or so ago when that book first came out. He's been a pastor, a professor, husband, father, speaker. The Mortons co-founded Promise 139, an international orphan hosting ministry, which is now, I think, in a dozen states or so. And we're looking forward to connecting with Rick Morton today to talk about No Orphans. That's K-N-O-W, No Orphans, Mobilizing the Church for Global Orphanology, new book just out. Rick, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Thank you, Neil. Glad to be with you. Appreciate you having me.
We we enjoyed our conversation here. It's been a long time already and thought, well, maybe just to review your stories. I mentioned you have three adopted children, but is that where your maybe interest in adoption and orphans took place, or did one lead to the other?
Yeah, I think really for me that was really the beginning point, and and I think my story is probably not different than a lot of men. Honestly, our journey began with my wife. I was teaching; I was a seminary professor teaching. Pastors and others that are preparing for ministry, and my wife came home one day and said, I think the Lord may be calling us to adopt, and I gave her what was quite frankly a pretty spiritual answer. I just said no, didn't really pray about it, didn't really wrestle with it. I told her, I've seen Dateline, I know what can happen, and I was really fearful, I think, about, what could happen, what could go wrong, about, the expense and the difficulty and, those kinds of things. Just had a lot of questions. And so my wife was tremendous. She's just a godly woman. And she didn't leave open Bibles around the house. She didn't, write it on the mirror and lipstick and, quote verses all over the place or that sort of thing. She just prayed and really modeled the persistent widow. And eventually God just began to turn my heart, and I had to live into my rhetoric. I was driven back to the scriptures. The Lord really began to challenge me about his heart for orphans as I began to just look systematically through the scriptures at God's heart for orphans and the connection of all that to the gospel. And then really God's character as an adoptive father. And so we stepped out in adoption. And I think it was really the our first experience in an Eastern European orphanage. And it really wasn't the first child that we brought home. It wasn't our son that really changed it for us as much as it was the kids that we left behind. And as we've progressed, we've adopted two older children since then. We've kind of done everything that that folks would counsel you not to do. We adopted an 18-month-old, then a 7-year-old, and then a 14-year-old. And so we've kind of wrecked the birth order and had a lot of challenges along the way. And God's been incredibly gracious to us, and we're still figuring it out. And there are good days, and there are some days that are tough days. But we're figuring out how to be a family. And we're having a great time along the way with it.
Rick, there may be some people listening out who just sort of heard a little bit of your story and say, well, this is going to be a discussion about adoption. So, you know, that's not, you know, I'm maybe in that no category. This doesn't apply to me. But just because adoption may not be, God's direction or leading doesn't mean that we shouldn't or couldn't care about orphans, right?
Yeah, no, and I think that's the message. We said in orphanology, and I think I said to you when, you and I were together a year and a half or so ago, that the message in all this, and I think the message in James 1:27 is that orphan care is for the whole church. There's no one that's too young. There's no one that's too old. And the people that are doing orphan care in the church don't change clothes in phone booths. You don't have to be Superman or Superwoman or really anything special. There are some people that are called out to do things like adoption or things like foster care, but adoption isn't for everyone. And I think that's a message that we need to proclaim, loud and clear. And really and truly, the vast majority of vulnerable kids that fall into the category of what the Bible would call fatherless, adoption is really not the answer for them. And so there's a much larger crisis and a much bigger picture for us as the church to respond well and to represent the gospel well. And adoption is just really one small piece of a much larger puzzle.
Well, so let's talk then a bit about maybe some of the statistics. You said adoption may not be the right answer. How do we really assess what the need is? And, it's easy to sort of throw numbers around, but what can you tell us?
Yeah, well, I think the number that you hear quoted most often, I think, in Christian circles and in the Christian adoption and orphan care movement is that there are 153 million orphans in the world. And that number comes from UNICEF. And that number is actually a number that is meant to talk about AIDS vulnerability. And that means that there are 153 million children who have lost one or both parents to death. So, in fact, the majority of those children, all but somewhere around 18 million of those children, have a living parent. Most of them are actually still living in their homes with a living parent, parenting them, supporting them, many of them in peril, and many of them living under great vulnerability because they've lost a parent to death, a supporting parent to death. And so the number's meant to awaken us to the vulnerability that these children have because of the AIDS crisis. But what it's not meant to tell us is that there are 153 million children out there that are awaiting adoption or in need of that type of care. Also, what it's not meant to tell us is about the children that are not counted. Street children, children that are undocumented, children that we have a hard time identifying and knowing about. It's also not meant to tell us about other kinds of children that are vulnerable, children that are living in two-parent families, but but both parents are in danger of rendering these children vulnerable through things like alcoholism or drug abuse or just indifference. You know, quite frankly, many of the children that we encountered in Eastern Europe and children that I've encountered in Africa, the reason for them being in institutions is not because they have a parent that's died. The reason that they're in those institutions is because they have a parent that's sick or they have a parent that has just chosen not to parent them. And so they're in a place where they have living parents, but they're deeply in need of the church engaging them and loving on them and providing for them. I think orphans in the Bible were considered because they didn't have a father to give them an identity so that society would recognize them. And those are the kinds of children that we need to try to find a way to look out for and to find a way to defend. Because, God, after all, introduces himself as father to the fatherless and defender of the defenseless. And when we act like that to these sorts of children, what we're doing is we're representing the gospel in a very tangible way and showing who God is to a world that's dying to know him.
We're going to talk more in a moment about how that we can maybe find ways to defend those that are fatherless, so they're orphaned. We're talking today with Rick Morton. Rick has written a new book called No Orphans, Mobilizing the Church for Global Orphanology, and it is published by New Hope Publishing. We're going to address some of the issues. There's some criticism about what's happening in the Christian-based orphan movement, if we call it that. We'll get into issues of, transracial adoptions and racism and some of those things. I'd love to hear your story as well. Maybe find out how you're involved. Maybe you've been involved by adopting, or maybe your church is involved and you're active in some way. I'd love to hear maybe what the best advice you received, too, about that. Most perhaps realistic advice that kind of kept you going or just gave you a fresh perspective on the process of orphan care. You can join the conversation today at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. We'll continue with Rick Morton in just a moment.
Northwestern, St. Paul, your life on purpose.
I want to be your hands. I want to be your feet. I'll go where you send me. Go where you send me. Be your hands. I want to be your feet.
It's 17 past the hour. Talking today about orphans. Global orphan crisis is complex, and the church's response should be comprehensive. But is it? Reviewing that today with the new book from Rick Morton called No Orphans, Mobilizing the Church for Global Orphanology. Rick has been a pastor. He's a husband. He's a father. He has three. He and his wife, Denise, have three children, all came through international adoption. And God's heart for the fatherless has characterized much of their ministry lives. They've founded an organization called Promise 139. It's an orphan hosting program that's now in, 10 or 12 states and growing. And Rick has been involved in caring for orphans in a variety of ways and speaking about that. And the new book, by the way, we have four copies of it to give away. And we'd love to put one in your hands. If you want to join in the program today, if you want to at least to sign up for the drawing, we'll do that at the end of the hour. Something that would be a great resource for you or maybe someone that you know who is considering adoption or just your church. You want to be more involved and engaged, give us a call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or you can also sign up online if you want to leave a question that way or just get in the drawing that way as well as myfaithradio.com, and then go to Connecting Faith, the show page. There's an email link there. So, Rick, we talked a little bit about, some of the kids not counted and finding a way to defend the orphans. It's clear, though, this is not just really an economic issue, is it? I mean, in terms of orphans, it's not just because, a parent has died necessarily or that they can't afford to take care of their kids.
No. The crisis is incredibly complex, and there are there are really a multiplicity of reasons why children are orphaned. It can be because of death and disease. It can be because of You know, as I said, you know, drug abuse or alcoholism or those sorts of things, it can be because of, you know, other reasons of inability. You know, we've seen, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, that, you know, the AIDS crisis has really, you know, caused great harm. And in a culture where there's been a tradition of families taking in orphan children and over, you know, over large spans of time, there really hasn't been an orphan crisis in Africa. But in recent history, there's been great pressure placed on nations because what's traditionally always taken place in Africa just can't take place now because of the large masses of children that need to be cared for. You know, really, literally, one in five children have been they've been rendered parentless because of AIDS. And, you know, so it's really, you know, a complex problem. And I think with much of the criticism that's come, the many of the people that are, you know, really not the folks that are from the outside that are critical of evangelicals just for the sake of being critical. As one of my friends within the movement would say, there are folks that are from the outside that would say about Christians, they would be the same folks that would be criticizing us if we were doing nothing. And I think we have to take that criticism with a grain of salt. But I think within the movement and within the church, many times the problem is that we're looking for one silver bullet answer. And we're looking for one way that's going to solve the orphan crisis, and there isn't one way. There are lots of ways. Adoption is part of the answer. Reunification is part of the answer. Foster care within countries is part of the answer. Economic development is part of the answer. And so there are just a lot of small ways that we have to engage in places, and that's why it takes the whole body of Christ being mobilized, because we need all the gifts and the talents and abilities and resources that are present in the body of Christ in order to be able to meet this challenge well.
So let's maybe address some of those criticisms, because you spell out several in the book, but one is that evangelicals are sort of feeling the demand for adoptions.
Yeah, and you know, and I think at the heart of that, the numbers just don't bear it out. You know, you can look over the past 20 years, and really the past decade, as the evangelical adoption movement has really taken off, and there's been more attention in evangelical churches paid toward orphan care and paid toward adoption. Adoptions into the United States from abroad have actually gone down precipitously. And you can look, 15 years ago, there were adoptions that were, you know, numbered into the 15 and 20,000 per year. Last year, there were less than 8,000 adoptions into the United States, and it's declining every year. And so because of tighter restrictions, because of other nations closing, and it's not just because of adoption restriction, it's also because of nations protecting themselves for nationalistic reasons. International adoption is on the decline, and certainly there's graft and corruption within international adoption. But I think there's within Christian adoption circles, organizations like the Christian Alliance for Orphans and the National Council for Adoption have been leaders and have been at the forefront of pressing on our government and working with adoption agencies to police themselves and to advocate for policies within the government that would render adoption safer, that would render adoption more transparent, and would advocate for child welfare policies even within other nations that would make the process more legal and more transparent.
You've adopted three children, all from Ukraine, I think, right?
So, yes.
Yeah. So did you deal with corruption in the system, or were there parts of it that just said, you know, I don't really like this, but I'm going to do this anyway? Or?
you know, there were times in which there were intimations about things, but we didn't really see what I would call open corruption. There were certainly things within the system where it didn't function like America. And I think we're used to seeing things happen on very regimented time frames. We're used to seeing things happen in ways that they just don't happen in foreign countries. But we honestly didn't see just outright graft and corruption. The things that we saw were people that that drug their feet, worked on their own schedule, and didn't really take a priority in the work that they were doing and seemed to function more independently. But we were pleased to work with adoption folks that worked by contract and did their business up front. And, many of the stories that we've heard in other places and even from other people within Eastern Europe about, graft and corruption within the system, we just really didn't see it.
You know, one of the other big issues, and maybe we can just touch on that, is the whole idea of transracial adoption, somehow a misguided attempt to deal with racism. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I think that, I've heard that criticism, but it really just seems, pretty misplaced. I don't think that we're trying to make up for a past or or trying to make a point with adoption. The people that I know that are adopting across race are adopting because they want to be parents, and because they want to parent children. And race is not really an intentionality as much as it's just not a big deal to them. I think the other thing from a theological point of view, what they're saying is that race that the gospel supersedes race, that race is not insignificant. Most of the parents I know that have adopted across race, that have adopted across ethnicity, they or even adopted across national borders, they honor the ethnicity and they honor the national origin of their children. They want to maintain that heritage for them. They want to give them a sense of who they are and where they come from. But they want to do that in a healthy sense, always honoring above that who they are in Christ and who they, who they are in a greater sense. We have to remember that that part of the reason that we draw lines between countries and fight over things over those lines is a result of the fall. And it's a result of sin in our midst. And while ethnicity is and those differences are not a part of sin, the reason we fight over those differences is a part of sin. And we don't need to honor those differences in that way. And so I think we have to be very careful in how we enter those debates and how we treat each other in those debates and show a Christ-honoring picture. And I think transracial adoptive families have a great way of being able to show how the gospel transcends the barriers that we often place in race.
We're going to come back and talk more in just a couple minutes with Rick Morton. Rick and his wife, Denise, have three children, all came home through international adoption. And he's a husband and a father. He's been a pastor, a professor, a speaker, and he's written this new book called No Orphans, Mobilizing the Church for Global Orphanology. His previous book he co-authored called Orphanology, Awakening Gospel-Centered Adoption and Orphan Care. We do have some copies, four copies to give away. Love to have you join the conversation, too. Interest in maybe some of the best advice you received about orphan care and adoption. We'll get Rick's answer on that as well. You can call us at 877-93-FAITH. The number is 877-933-2484. More in a moment.
900-KTIS. Can you hear me? Am I getting through tonight? Can you see?
if we are Christ followers, have been adopted into the family of God. And with that should come our maybe a renewed sense of awareness and privilege in being the hands and feet of Jesus. So we talk about orphan care. James 1:27 is the verse that comes to mind as we talk no orphans. That's K-N-O-W, no orphans, mobilizing the church for global orphanology. It's the new book from Rick Morton. Rick's the father of three transnational adopted children, co-author of the book Orphanology, and he's dedicated to the plight of orphans, and as a speaker, a pastor, professor, and we're talking to him today about his new book. And Rick actually is vice president at Lifeline Children's Service. And Lifeline Children's Service, want to make sure we talk about that in a moment as well. But Rick, I'm interested maybe from you. By the way, do we have four copies of the book to give away? And so if you'd like to join the conversation, or if you'd like to at least just sign up for the book, we'd be happy to have you check in with us at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. Carlene called in and said thanks for sharing ways that people can help besides adopting. She also adopted from Vietnam. Carlene, thank you for sharing a bit about your story. But Rick, in terms of adoption, maybe before we get to your story, I'm wondering if you're seeing the Christian organizations leading the way in terms of positive change and reform and getting better. As we talked about, so the numbers internationally are actually going down, but there seems like there's certainly a growing movement and awareness about adoption.
Yeah, absolutely. And, organizations like the Christian Alliance for Orphans has become huge in helping to get the word out. Orphan Sunday, which is promoted through the Christian Alliance for Orphans, actually began in Zambia a few years ago with a pastor named Billy Chandwi. Billy led his church to basically just begin to recognize the orphans around in their community and set aside a Sunday to take up a special offering. And their offering was people literally giving the shoes off their feet and the food off their table to be able to care for the orphans. Most of them rendered as orphans because of AIDS in their community. And there happened to be an American missionary that was in Billy's church that Sunday and brought the vision back to the States. And eventually that's become something that has taken off here. And this past year there were believers in 54 countries on the first Sunday in November. And that's kind of a great entry-level way that that churches can begin to raise awareness and challenge folks to respond.
Rick, when I was reading that story, it just kind of reminded me. I think we always assume, well, every idea that we have in terms of church is something that we came up with, but this actually didn't have its roots in the North American church at all, which I guess brings to mind our churches globally. Seeing the need, maybe in responding, or have they been responding, and we're just sort of catching up with what they're already attempting to do?
Yeah, it's really funny. I think sometimes we do have the perspective that things begin and end here in America and in North America, and God really is at work around the globe, and I think we're just beginning to catch up. I was about a year and a half ago, I was in Ukraine and had the opportunity to be able to speak to 500 or 600 pastors and from all over Eastern Europe, and began to watch a decade after we adopted our first child in Ukraine as Ukrainian churches are stepping up to care for orphans within Ukraine. A robust adoption and orphan care movement has begun there and across Eastern Europe. And really, the ministry that we've been a part of, Promise 139, that has been aligned with our ministry, Lifeline Children's Services, we've seen a precipitous decline in the number of kids that are in Ukrainian orphanages. I can't quote, you know, exact statistics to you, but of the 30,000 adoptable kids, you know, there, I think somewhere around 12,000 or so have either been adopted or fostered in the last several years. And it, without giving you exact numbers, you know, the vast majority of those kids, the dent has been made by the church. A couple of months ago, I was in South Africa in Pretoria with the Southern African Orphan Summit, and there were groups from 26 countries in the southern half of Africa, all of these groups strategizing about how the church in Africa can be mobilized to adopt children across bloodlines and foster children across bloodlines to both to help to conquer the orphan crisis, but also to represent the gospel in their nations. And what part of what they see the importance of is putting the gospel on display, realizing that God's always had an agenda of showing who He is and showing what He has done and through Christ by caring for the vulnerable. And so that important piece and that important message is, you know, is being preached and taught widely. And that sort of care is not happening just when we bring children out and adopt them internationally or transnationally. It's happening also as believers are caring in indigenous movements, you know, literally all over the world.
Talking to Rick Morton today about his book, No Orphans, Mobilizing the Church for Global Orphanology. We've got some copies to give away. The number is 877-93-FAITH. I'd love to have you join the conversation, 877-933-2484. And so, Rick, is in terms of the orphan care movement, are there things that we can do, the North American Church, to really be more supportive of what's going on globally, and are orphanages a workable solution? Is that a good idea, generally?
Well, you know, here's the thing that I would say about orphanages. At times, I think, you know, sometimes we paint with a very broad brush, and sometimes the rhetoric is heard that we would say that an institution is never an appropriate solution. And again, there's no silver bullet solution. Institutions at times are an appropriate solution, maybe because there's an overwhelming need for, you know, for adequate care. But institutions are never a dead-end solution for a child. God made children for families and made families for children. And so we want to get children into families or into family-like situations. That's the appropriate thing to do. And so institutions are merely a stopgap so that we can get a handle on things to move children along. Ultimately, the best solution is to try to help kids' families so that they don't dissolve or so that they don't break up. And so, you know, as we do things to, you know, to provide health care and to provide sustainability for families, you know, we do things in those opportunities as well to stop families from breaking up, to stop parents from dying, to halt the orphan crisis before it ever begins. And those are, you know, those are worthy efforts as well. Some of the things that we do in transitional assistance for orphans, one of the things I would encourage people to do is to think entrepreneurially about connecting with ministries. Lifeline Children's Services that I serve with, we have a ministry called Unadopted. We're on the ground in 8 countries ministering to orphans that are transitioning or about to transition away from institutions or group homes or even home-like settings, teaching them job skills, life skills, and discipling them so that they don't repeat the orphan cycle. And there are great opportunities for people that are tradesmen and tradeswomen, business people that can teach business skills, pastors and Sunday school teachers, and you know, folks that can go in and teach the Bible well, folks that'll just go in and teach life skills. We have an opportunity in China for folks to be able to go into a foster home and be able to teach, you know, teach the caregivers there about how to care care well for children, even to be able to go into to orphanages in places where the infrastructure is not yet available to be able to get kids out into families or into group homes, and to be able to teach those caregivers to care well, to nurture, so that children are able to attach well and to know how to grow well. And so all of those are opportunities that we can take on mission trips or things that we can do. Child sponsorship programs, that would be another thing that I would say that's an easy thing that people can do. You know, being able to sponsor a child and be able to sponsor their family. And, you know, through maybe $30 or $40 a month, a family can provide the opportunity to so that medical wellness and food is provided so that a family stays whole.
One of the most strategic things we can do, I know, in terms of really making an impact in changing the shape of global poverty. Let's take a call from Jan, who's calling in line one. Jan, you're on with Rick Morton from Lifeline Children's Service. Go ahead.
Yes, hello there. I just would like to say that at one point I had a conversation with a lady who said she would like to adopt, but she doubted her ability to love that child. And we have two children that we have adopted, and it is absolutely miraculous how God gives you that love for that child. And I just thought, I was wondering how widespread this feeling would be of, I doubt that I could love that child, and what a false notion that is, because God does take care of that.
Good question. Yes, thanks, Jan. Rick, what's your response to that?
Yeah, Jan, I would tell you that I had the same fear, and that was part of what God had to deal with me about. And, you know, as I saw the scriptures and began to wrestle about, you know, God's adoption of us, one of the things that I was, you know, most struck by is the fact that in our adoption spiritually, we're just really unlovely. We're a mess. And yet God reaches into the muck and the mire and into the difficulty, and he's able to love us. And one of the things that I, you know, I was so impressed by in that and you know, really that came alive for me is that God can meet us in that, and his grace extends to us. And it's been really, I can't explain it to you, but it's a gift that the Lord gives, and I can't imagine loving our kids anymore. I can't imagine. I don't know what it's like to have biological children, but I can't imagine that our hearts could be consumed anymore with our kids, and that we, you know, that we could have a greater love for them. And so, I, you know, what I would say to people is that God will meet you in that. And he will, you know, he will give you what you need.
We're talking with Rick Morton today, who has authored the book No Orphans, K-N-O-W, No Orphans, Mobilizing the Church for Global Orphanology. And Rick is the Vice President of Lifeline Children's Service. You can find out more on their website. We'll talk about it in a moment, lifelinechild.org. And he has also co-authored the book Orphanology, Awakening to Gospel-Centered Adoption and Orphan Care. And we're going to talk more. In fact, we'll get some insight from Rick on the best advice, or maybe who he sought out for advice, and some of the best he received in terms of he and his wife's transnational adoptions that they've experienced three times. And Rick speaks nationally, internationally on this important topic, and he's joining us today on Connecting Faith. You can join us as well at 877-933-2484.
Need him or chat with us live at needhim.org.
For a realistic perspective on the orphan care movement, and particularly about adoption, talking No Orphans today, Mobilizing the Church for Global Orphanology with Rick Morton. He and his wife have have welcomed three children who have all come to their home through international adoption. And he's a pastor, professor, and speaker. And the new book called No Orphans is published by New Hope Publishing. Rick is vice president of Lifeline Children's Service. He's also, he and his wife co-founded Promise 139, International Orphan Hosting Ministry. And we're talking today about orphan care. And Rick, I'm interested to know, in the process for you, you just shared a little bit responding to Jan's question, but did you seek out advice from people, and maybe what was the best advice you received?
Yeah, you know, we had people that journeyed with us that were incredible. And I think maybe several things that come to mind. One friend that that walked very closely with us that had gone ahead of us in adopting internationally and adopted older children gave me a piece of advice, and he just said simply, don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. I think that, you know, very often you can let your mind wander about all the things that you don't know, all the things that you don't know about the process, and even all the things that you don't know about your children and things that they've experienced. And one of the things you find out is that that the experience, once you get your kids home, is it's a little bit like peeling an onion. Slowly but surely, you begin to learn about them, begin to learn about experiences, and some of those things are great treasures, and sometimes they're great tragedies that, you know, become a part of that onion peeling process. And you really just can't look too far into the future. You just kind of have to deal with what's in front of you. I think a lot of people that step into particularly international adoption look at getting a child as the finish line, and getting a child is just getting out of the starting blocks. And the real living and the real hard work and the real good stuff happens at the point that you get home. But that's really where the work begins. And so don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. I think also my dear friend Russell Moore, that wrote the book Adopted for Life, Russ and I were rookie professors at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary together. I was having a particularly bad day in our first adoption, and one of those days when paperwork was all messed up and we were thinking we would never see the end of the process, and I was bellyaching to Russ. He and Maria had adopted their two boys from Russia about a year before, and he was a real compass for me through the process. And I was just bellyaching and saying, you know, I don't know that I can do this. I don't know that I can finish. And I just remember Russ backing me up into a corner and saying, you know, you will learn things about God that you would have no other way of knowing save going through this process. And that has proved to be true. Learning things about the heart of God, the character of God, sometimes learning about God because of looking in a mirror and finding out how far we fall short of the adoptive grace of God in how we walk this journey as adoptive parents. And all of that has proven to be true.
Rick, I'm wondering if there's you have some thoughts about how the church maybe can improve their support and engagement in the sort of before, during, and after process. Are there some things that come to mind right away there?
Absolutely. You know, I think creating communities of support for families is, you know, is one key thing. Obviously, financial support, adoption's expensive, and so that you know, that can be a key thing. I think ministries that wrap around families once they have adopted, providing prayer support, providing, you know, everything from transportation to and from doctor's visits, providing meals occasionally, you know, providing mentoring support for parents, those kinds of things can be, you know, can really be key and crucial. And then one thing that I think churches don't think about very much is the impact with a culture of foster care and adoption, the impact that will have on preschool children and student ministries, particularly the need in many cases for really robust special needs ministries. Many of these kids that will come will have profound needs because of the wounds that exist in their lives and because of the things that that they bring and that have happened in their journey as they come to the families that you know that have embraced them. And churches need to understand that a call to families to adopt and a call to families to foster is also a call to the church to love those kids and to love those families as well. And so the church really needs to think long and deep about adapting and being ready to support in educational programs and in discipling programs.
So do you think those attachment issues, are they maybe overdiagnosed, you think? Or, I mean, do we have a realistic perspective on that?
I think that there may be a tendency among some adoptive parents to think the worst about attachment issues, to think all the way to the end of the spectrum and assume that a child would have reactive attachment disorder. I think there are probably not a lot of therapists in the country that really have the expertise that they need to recognize full-blown attachment issues. But I think it's not unreasonable to assume that many children, particularly children that are coming out of institutions, are going to have attachment issues. Children that where the cycle has been broken and they've not had, real positive nurture as infants, where they're, when they haven't been fed, when they've been hungry, when they haven't been changed, when they've been dirty, when they haven't been, rocked to sleep and nurtured, so that they know that they're protected and they know that they're safe, and they haven't attached to a primary caregiver like their mom, like God designed it to be. Those issues linger, and until those wounds are met, there's going to be that lingering feeling underneath for a child that I have to take care of myself because there's nobody else in the world that I can trust to do that for me.
I was thinking too, even you're talking about, it's not the adoption is not the finish line, and family, friends, and co-members of church, we probably think that way too sometimes, right? And we sort of realize that, no, this isn't the finish line here.
Absolutely. And some of the ways that churches, can really help is even, in dealing with this issue about attachment. We bring a child home and, a child who struggles with attachment issues, they're going to be overly friendly and they're going to be overly engaging. And so church members and friends and people will see that as a very positive sign, where parents that know the things that they're trying to accomplish in a child's life, they know that that's really something that's not good, and that what they're looking for is to help a child to be able to attach to them, and they want to see that child be clingy for a while. And so educating the church about how to respond to the child and about how to direct the child back to back to parents so that they get their needs met by their parent so that they attach well. And the reason that that's such a big deal is ultimately we want them to attach to a primary caregiver. We want them to attach to mom and we want them to attach to dad because we want them to somewhere along the way be able to have an easier faith journey and to be able to trust God, to be able to trust Christ. And part of the journey of the way God's wired us is that when we learn to trust mom and dad early, we have an easier time being able to place our faith and trust in Christ later because we're inherently just trusting human beings.
Now, our time is kind of getting away from us. You only have a minute left. But, Rick, say a word about Lifeline Children's Service.
Yeah, we essentially we're a ministry that does everything from domestic foster care to domestic adoption, international adoption, and then we're on the ground in 23 countries doing orphan care. I talked about our unadopted program, plenty of places for people to be able to plug in and serve. LifelineChild.org, and would love to give people an opportunity. We're in 12 states. and would love to be able to give people an opportunity to be able to serve and to find a place to plug into the nations. Lots of practical ways that people, no matter how young or how old, can find a way to serve children and among the nations.
Yeah, we didn't even get to that, but age is not really the issue here. There's a place for everybody in God's family to reach out to those in need around us, and Rick Morton has spelled it out clearly in a wonderful new resource. I hope you'll pick up a copy from New Hope Publishers. It's called No Orphans, Mobilizing the Church for Global Orphanology from Rick Morton. Rick's a husband, father, pastor, professor, speaker. And they have three children adopted internationally, like transnational adopted children, I guess we'd say. And you can find out more about Rick's work at lifelinechild.org. That's lifelinechild.org, the ministry that he's vice president of. Rick, blessings to you. Thank you for sharing some time with us today.
Hey, thank you for having me, Neil. I always appreciate it.
Catch the podcast online at myfaithradio.com.